Good morning and welcome to Simply Science. It's Tuesday, April 16th. On today's show, scientists unlock the mystery of how we taste bitterness, and Chinese achievements in chip tech and pollution controls top science award nominees. Plus, we delve into the science behind work breaks and productivity. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Science. We start off with a breakthrough from scientists who have made progress in understanding how our tongues detect bitter tastes at the molecular level. The findings, led by researchers at the University of North Carolina School of Medicine, reveal new details about a bitter taste receptor called TAS2R14 and its role in helping us identify one of the five basic tastes. Here with more details is our Simply Science correspondent. So what exactly did this study uncover about how we taste bitterness?
The researchers used advanced imaging techniques to study the 3D structure of the TAS2R14 bitter taste receptor in its active state. They discovered that when bitter substances, known as tastants, come into contact with the receptor, they bind to a specific regulatory site called the allosteric site. This binding changes the shape of the receptor, which then activates a coupled protein and triggers a signaling cascade that ultimately sends a message to the brain's gustatory cortex, where the signal is processed and perceived as a bitter taste.
Interesting. So it's a multi-step process. Did the study reveal anything else about how this bitter taste receptor functions?
Yes. The researchers also found that cholesterol plays a key role in this process. Cholesterol binds to a different site on the receptor called the orthosteric pocket. Using computer simulations, the team determined that the bound cholesterol puts the receptor into a semi-active state, essentially priming it so that it can be more easily activated by the bitter tastant at the allosteric site. This two-site binding mechanism involving cholesterol hadn't been seen before.
That's a fascinating new discovery. But beyond just improving our basic understanding of taste, could this research have any practical applications?
Potentially, yes. While taste is the most obvious function, these bitter taste receptors are also found in other parts of the body, like the airways. They've been implicated in appetite regulation in conditions like obesity, diabetes, asthma, and COPD. Cholesterol and related bile acids are also involved in controlling metabolism. So by revealing the detailed structure and mechanisms of this receptor, this research could guide the development of new drug treatments that target it. For example, drugs could potentially be designed to bind to the allosteric site and directly regulate the receptor's activity.
Thanks for breaking down that complex but important new research on taste for us. Shifting our focus to another part of the world, China has just announced the shortlist for its 2023 National Science and Technology Awards, offering a glimpse into the country's top research priorities. The semiconductor industry, which has faced Western sanctions, featured prominently among the 301 projects selected. Here, with more details, is our Simply Science correspondent. What stood out to you about this year's nominees?
A few key areas really jumped out. In the semiconductor space, a team from Tsinghua University was nominated for developing a critical machine used in chip manufacturing called a chemical mechanical polishing, or CMP, machine. This helps polish wafer surfaces down to a nano-level precision, a key step in making advanced chips. China has been striving for self-sufficiency in chip making, so this represents an important domestic breakthrough.
Interesting. Were there any other notable technology categories highlighted by the nominations?
Yes, 5G wireless research was another big one. A collaborative project between industry giants like China Mobile and Huawei on key 5G technologies and engineering applications is up for a top prize. This reflects how China has really positioned itself at the forefront of next-generation cellular networks. The country sees 5G as strategically important both for economic and security reasons.
Beyond the tech sector, what other scientific fields had a strong showing among the shortlisted projects?
Environmental research stood out, particularly around air and water pollution. Since 2013, China has made major strides in reducing smog and haze in cities through an intensive national cleanup campaign. Projects nominated for top awards looked at causes and solutions for PM2.5 pollution, the tiny particulate matter that poses major health risks. Groundwater protection was another key theme. This all aligns with China's focus in recent years on balancing growth with sustainability and quality of life issues.
For our listeners who may not be as familiar, can you explain a bit more about how China's science award system works and what the selection process entails?
The National Science and Technology Awards are China's most prestigious prizes for scientific achievement. There are several categories covering basic research, technological inventions, and major engineering projects. Hundreds of projects are initially nominated, but only a small fraction make it to this final shortlist after rounds of expert review. The overall success rate is under 25%, so the nominees have already undergone significant vetting by this stage. And of course, only a handful will ultimately receive the top prizes in each category.
When will the final award decisions be announced, and what should we be watching for?
The actual awards will likely be presented in a ceremony early next year. I'll be closely following which projects take the very top prizes, as those represent the crown jewels of Chinese research. But overall, the shortlist itself is quite revealing of China's strategic priorities, advancing its domestic tech capabilities, environmental protection, and basic research across disciplines to drive future innovations. These science awards offer a valuable window into where China is focusing its brain power and resources.
Thanks for that context and analysis on China's top science prizes. Shifting gears now, in today's fast-paced work environment, the relentless pursuit of productivity often leads to burnout and decreased efficiency over time. But scientific research suggests that taking regular breaks can actually boost productivity and mental sharpness. Here to explain more is our Simply Science correspondent. So tell us, what does cognitive science say about the importance of taking breaks?
Well, David, cognitive science provides clear evidence on the limitations of human attention and the mental strain that comes with prolonged focus. Studies show that the brain works best when it can switch between periods of focus and relaxation. In particular, research highlights the role of the default mode network, or DMN, a brain network that becomes active during rest periods. Activating the DMN helps consolidate memories and promotes creative problem solving, underscoring the productive power of downtime.
Interesting. And is there empirical data that directly links taking breaks with greater productivity on the job?
Absolutely. A notable study tracked top performers using a productivity app and found they worked intensely for about 52 minutes, then took a 70-minute break doing non-work activities like walking or socializing. This recharged their cognitive resources. Another study in the journal Cognition found that brief diversions from a task dramatically improve one's ability to focus on that task for prolonged periods. Essentially, the brain's vigilance decreases with constant stimulus, so breaking up the monotony refreshes attention.
What about the psychological benefits of taking breaks? It seems like it could help with issues like job stress and burnout.
Definitely. From a psychological perspective, breaks decrease work-related stress and prevent burnout by providing mental respite. This is especially critical in high-pressure environments. Regular breaks also enhance job satisfaction, as employees feel more balanced and less overwhelmed. There are different types of effective work breaks too, like physical activity breaks, mental breaks doing puzzles or reading, social breaks with coworkers, and even just spending a few minutes in nature. Each engages the brain and body in different ways to maximize the restorative benefits.
So what can companies do to help employees reap the rewards of well-timed work breaks? It seems like it would take some intentional changes.
Implementing a structured break protocol can help organizations maximize the benefits. This includes instituting scheduled breaks to normalize break taking, creating conducive break environments like outdoor spaces or lounges, developing clear break policies, and providing training on how to best utilize breaks. With some strategic changes, companies can leverage the science of breaks to achieve a more motivated, efficient, and happier workforce. Experts predict breaks will be an increasingly important part of corporate wellness initiatives going forward.
Thanks for breaking down the science behind this important workplace issue. While it may seem counterintuitive, The research clearly shows that taking breaks can ultimately make us more productive on the job. Definitely something for companies and employees to keep in mind. Now, let's shift our focus to another pressing issue, the decline of nature across the world, with many species losing their habitats due to human activity. But could the sounds of nature actually tell us important information about the extent of this biodiversity loss? James recently visited a forest in England to learn more. James, what did you discover there?
David, I visited Monk's Wood in Cambridgeshire, which has been closely studied by ecologist Richard Broughton for over 2 decades. In that time, he's witnessed a dramatic decline in the population of marsh tits, a small bird species. Fascinatingly, Broughton has also recorded how the soundscape of the forest has changed as a result.
That's intriguing. So the sounds you hear in a habitat can indicate the health of the species living there. How exactly does that work?
Each species has its own unique sounds and vocalizations. When you listen to a natural environment, you're hearing a symphony of all the birds, insects, amphibians, and other wildlife living there. Pioneering soundscape ecologist Bernie Krause has spent his career recording these soundscapes. He argues that by analyzing them, we can detect important changes in the ecosystem that may not be apparent visually.
I imagine, as certain species decline or even disappear from an area, their characteristic sounds would vanish from the soundscape as well. Over time, you'd hear a very different composition of nature sounds.
Exactly. In the case of Monk's Wood, Broughton's recordings over 22 years starkly illustrate how much the marsh tit's chirping song has faded from the chorus as their numbers have plummeted. It's a tangible, auditory indicator of biodiversity loss, and Krause believes this is happening in habitats all over the planet.
So in a sense, if we listen closely enough, nature itself may be telling us, through sound, the sobering extent of the impact human activity is having on the natural world. It's a fascinating and important field of research.
Indeed it is. Soundscape ecology is still a relatively new discipline. But as Krause argues, in a world of rapid environmental change, the voice of nature may speak volumes about the state of our planet, if only we take the time to listen and understand what it's telling us.
Thanks, James, for that insightful report on how sound can shed light on the biodiversity crisis. It's certainly given me a new appreciation for the natural chorus all around us. And on that note, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Science. We'll see you back here tomorrow.